Well, before I start today, I do want to recognize, if you didn't realize it, my parents yesterday celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. So it's pretty awesome. And then one of our pastors was talking to me, actually texting back and forth, and he was like, yeah, 60, that's a huge feat. And he looked it up. Only 2% of the population makes it to their 60th wedding anniversary. So it's so they're 2%ers, all right? So, you know, I mean, they're in a elite group. All right, well, on Sunday, I gave my 2026 message, and I got the word elevate. So if you want to, I figured there'd be more people on Sunday than there would be today. So you guys are the chosen few that shows up on the 31st. And just thank God that we're not staying here till midnight. You know, I know some of you want to, all right, but I've got older, all right? I mean, I'm just, you know, don't want to be here till midnight. I know Pastor Tad, he wanted to be here till midnight. So especially, I don't want to go from 7 p.m. to midnight. That's a long time, all right? I think last time we had one of those services like that where we did go to midnight, we've had a few. I think I went to the bathroom 7 times. You know, that's God's number or whatever, something like that. I didn't really have to go to the bathroom. I just wanted to walk out to stretch my legs or whatever. So, but tonight, I want to talk about something that that I always encourage every believer. I believe that every year, the first of the year in January, you need to get a hold of my grandfather's message, whether you want to, on audio form, video form, or book form, on the believer's authority. Amen. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, you know, because 2026 will be different because you know your authority. And a lot of times we know our authority, but we forget about the authority. You know, we read the book, we know it, but sometimes, you know, we don't think about it. So tonight we are closing, you know, 1 year and stepping into another. I mean, you know, only a few more hours are left of 2025, and it's going to be 2026. You realize that tonight when you tell people bye, you'll say see them next year, because it'll be next year by the time you see them again. You know, like I said, I've already preached my New Year's message, but I felt impressed to end this year by reminding us of something foundational, something that determines whether believers live victorious or defeated. My grandfather taught us that many believers love God, they pray sincerely, and even quote scriptures, but yet they live powerless because they don't know their authority. 2026 will not be different just because the year changes. 2026 will be different if God's people rise up and exercise the authority Jesus has already given them. You know, Brother Hagin often said that the greatest failure in the church today is not a lack of faith, it's a lack of knowledge about the authority of the believer. Now, he tells us that authority is delegated power. Authority is not strength. Authority is not feelings. Authority is a delegated right or delegated power. You know, one of the best examples of that is, you know, if I become an officer, so if I'm happen to be a Broken Arrow police officer here, then I have been given a badge, and that badge is delegated authority that allows me to stand at the intersection, put a hand up, and a semi truck has to come to a halt because I have the authority to stop traffic. Now, the badge doesn't give you the power to stop the traffic. I mean, you know, your power, if a semi-truck wants to, you know, break the rules, he can drive right over you. But see, he's been given the authority by the city of Broken Arrow, by the state of Oklahoma, and by the United States of America to stand out there and direct traffic, and people have to stop. Because of the authority. But you know what? The devil has to stop because of the authority that we have been given. We have the authority that's been given to us. Now, a lot of times, so if we have the authority, if you know, we have the authority to stop the devil, then why are we worried about the devil so much? Why are we worried about our situation? Why are we worried about circumstances if we already know we have the authority? Because you said you've read that book before. You've read the Bible before. But just reading a book and reading the Bible, you know, doesn't make you put things into practice. That's why I always pray about being a doer of God's word. Matthew 28:18 says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. So Jesus says that he has all the authority. In Luke 10:19, it says that, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Now, I don't know if anyone reads the scripture, but the Bible, you know, clearly says is that Jesus gave us all authority to trample over the enemy. And then it says that nothing by any means will hurt us. I don't know where people were during COVID. I don't know if they ever read the scripture or not, but they should have. You know, so it says this, that we have the authority over all the power of the enemy. Not part of it, but all the power of the enemy. Now, you know, people who really have authority actually act like they have an authority. I mean, a police officer, you know they have the authority to stop traffic. They don't have to. Well, I just hope these traffic people stop. You know, I hope that they do. Now, my grandfather also taught us that Jesus did not give us, he did not give us power over the devil. He gave us authority over the power. All right? See, there's a difference. We don't have power. We can't physically defeat him. We have been given authority through Christ Jesus to defeat him with what we say, what we do, how we act. And 2026 is not going to be any different if you don't use your authority that you have. You know, the devil realizes that his time is short. All right? He doesn't want you to fulfill your plan, you know, the God's plan for your life. He doesn't want to see people get saved. He doesn't want to see people get blessed. You know, I quote it all the time. It's not one of the scriptures I gave them, but John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Those are not good things. That's what he wants. He wants your life to be miserable. All right? And your life will be miserable if you let him, you know, push you around. You know, but you have to decide to use your authority, because the Bible says that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. Whatever power he has, we have the authority over that. So that means that Satan might have power, but he has no right unless the believer allows him. You know, I don't know how many times, my exact prayer is, the devil, you have no right, you have no authority. In the name of Jesus, you must leave me alone. You must leave my household alone. I mean, I just flat out just, that is an actual prayer that I've prayed many, many times, especially when sickness tries to attack us or different things tries to attack, is the devil has no right and no authority, and he knows it. You realize the devil knows he has no right and no authority? He knows the word just like you should know the word. But supposedly you know the word, but you don't act like you know the word. If you act like you know the word, then you would realize that Satan has been defeated. Now, the Bible says, you know, to understand the authority, we must understand where Jesus is now. You realize we just celebrated Christmas and Jesus is no longer in a manger. I don't care what Talladega Nights, you know, said that I'd like to pray to the baby Jesus, all right? Jesus is no longer a baby. He's no longer on the cross. You know, I know that there are some crosses that have Jesus still on them. Those crosses bother me because Jesus is not on the cross anymore. The Bible tells us that he's seated on the right hand of the Father. Ephesians 1:20 through 22 says this, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So, you know, he gave the church the authority to be the head over all things. All right, so it tells us here in Ephesians that Christ is seated at the right hand of God, far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, not over in this age, but the age to come. All right, and then going to Hebrews 1:3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and the upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So Hebrews tells us that when Jesus finished the work of redemption, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. So, you know, my grandfather emphasizes in the Believer's Authority book that when Jesus sat down, the work was done. Redemption was complete and victory was secured. Now, the Bible says that we have already been given the victory. Jesus is not fighting with the devil today. He's already defeated him. You know, many people almost act like when they pray, Jesus, come back down here and defeat the devil. You know, just because you're going through a situation doesn't mean that he's going to come down here and defeat the devil again. He's already done that. And then when he did that, what he did was he gave you the authority in his name to be the ultimate name dropper in the universe. You know, a lot of people drop names, but, you know, but it doesn't mean anything. Half the time, you don't even know the people who dropped your name. You know, but the deal is not only do you know Jesus, so does the devil. And the devil actually knows that you have the authority. Do you realize if he's already been defeated and he knows he's been defeated, why do we act like the way we do sometimes? The reason we act like it is because sometimes when the devil is attacking us and the waves of the world is coming against us, we don't see things like Jesus sees them. We forget about Jesus on the inside. That's why Paul kept talking about renewing his mind. You know, that I talked about this on Sunday. You know, Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. But you can have his thoughts. We should have heavenly thoughts. We should realize, you know, our position. See, you know, you have to realize that the devil is here and you are here. You're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So if you're above the devil, then he doesn't have any power. Now, he has power, but you have the authority over his power, and there's nothing that he can do about it. He's already been defeated. All he can do is talk smack. If any of you have ever been in athletics, there are some people that talk smack, and usually the people who talk smack don't back it up. That's when they talk smack, because they know that they can't back it up, and so they try to get you out of your mental mindset so you can't do it. I mean, I'll give you a great example. This is, okay, so many people, I played football most of my life. But I wasn't in the line, all right? It's funny because, you know, whenever I started coaching my kids, they would say, you know, you can be the line coach. Offensive, defensive, doesn't matter. And I'm like, I can coach the line. I have no problem. I know how to block. I know how to tackle. I just want to let you know I never played the line. Well, actually, I did in seventh grade. That's a whole long story. But anyway, I was too small to play the line. But my seventh grade coach didn't like my dad. All right, so he didn't like my dad. So I played defensive safety or cornerback. On offense, I would play wide receiver or tight end. And so this coach didn't like my dad. So what he would do is we would trade off the tight end. So he would make me play on defensive tackle. So I played defensive tackle against our offense, and he would put me, I don't know how many times he would call a play where I'm getting double teamed by the two biggest guys on our team. Now, he did that, you know, because, you know, just to try to make me quit, I think. Well, the problem is, so I remember I'm in a game, and I'm safety. You know, I return punts and kickoffs. I know I look like, you know, you actually ran the ball? Yeah, I was always second string running back. And so here I was, I'm safety. Seventh grade, I'm safety. All of a sudden, our defensive tackle goes down. So all of a sudden, the coach yells, "Hagen, get up there." So I went from being safety to being defensive tackle because I practiced the position a lot, getting beat up or whatever. Thank God that I had arm pads. My dad throw these arm pads in. And it's funny, so here we go. So then they punt the ball. So me, defensive tackle, throw my arm pads back out to the sideline to go back and return the punt. It was pretty crazy. But anyway, whole nother story. I didn't play the line. I don't even know where I'm going. I was a running back, wide receiver, and things like that. And I don't even remember now my whole story because I just forgot about what I was going to tell you. Because I was so excited about that. So anyway, it'll come back to me at some point in time. But, I can tell you this is that when we play football, we don't always win. But when you play life, if you know your authority, if you know you've already been victorious, you're going to win every time. You're going to win every time. Now, there might be some times when it seems like you're down in the game, but you are going to win every time. And maybe I'll remember at some point in time what I was really going to go say. See, this, when you go these side journeys, sometimes you forget about what you were really going to say. Anyway, I guess it doesn't really matter. The thing is that we are seated in heaven, in heavenly places, through Christ Jesus. And the devil is under our feet. He has no authority. He can't stop us. All right, now he'll try to stop us. Now, like I said, victory was secured. He was already defeated. So, like I said, when we know the truth that we're seated with Christ, it changes everything. Like I said, Ephesians 2:6 says that God has raised us together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right. So Brother Hagin says the church has failed to realize that we are seated with Christ, not beneath the enemy. You are over the enemy. Now, if Jesus is seated far above all demonic power, then we are seated with him. Then positionally speaking, the believer outranks the devil. The believer outranks the devil. So if you outrank the devil, why are you worried about somebody that you outrank? If you're in the military, do you outrank someone you're talking to, you talk to them differently because you outrank them. I mean, they're going to say yes, sir, no, sir, things like that. The devil has no right. So Jesus is seated in heaven places. We're seated with them. So, it's not arrogance to talk that way. It's a redemption reality. See, if we really believe what happened on Calvary, what happened, after Jesus died on the cross and then he went down to the feet of Satan and he rose to sit at the right hand of the Father, if we really believe it, then we would act differently when things begin to come against us. I'm still trying to figure out what I was going to, my example of football, but anyway. See, my mind is thinking while I'm talking to you. I'm still thinking because I want to get that. All right. Anyway, like I said before, Ephesians 1:22 says that all things were put under Christ's feet. Then Romans 16:20 says that Satan will be crushed under your feet. If you get this, if you really get it, it'll change your 2026. And I know you've probably read the book many, many times, but I want you not just to read a book. I want you to understand the book. I want you to understand that the devil hasn't been given the authority. You have. Now, we'll get there in a second. My grandfather says something that shocks people when they first hear it, but it's true. It says, God's not going to do anything about the devil. Jesus already did. Now it's up to the church. You know, God's not going to stop the devil from trying to wreak havoc, you know, on your life. He's going to try. Now, my dad has a book out there. Pastor Hagin has a book called It's Your Move, meaning, you know, he's already made all the moves. Now it's your move to decide. You know, you need to understand that he has no right. It's up to you. The devil's not ruling from heaven. He's a defeated foe under the believer's feet. All right? Which reminds you of the Keith Moore song, "The Devil's Under My Feet." You know, so, you know, our victory is complete. It goes on to say, and I can't remember the whole thing. Anyway, authority unused is authority wasted. Just because we have the authority. So if you have the authority, then why are you basically having a tearful prayer? I don't know what I'm going to do. If you don't know, why you don't know what you're going to do? Because you don't really know the God in you. You don't know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And actually, the New Living Translation says on that verse, it says, you've already won the victory over those people. Doesn't say you're going to win. It says you are victorious. All right? I remembered what I was going to say. So I was a defensive back in high school. And all right, so fast forward to 40 years of age, all right? 40 years of age, playing flag football out here at the things. I'm 40. No, I'm a man. I'm 40. Anyway, so that's a whole nother reference to our former Oklahoma State coach. Anyway, you can Google that. And so here I was. I'm a rusher, so I'm rushing. That's what I do. I go in and get the flag. So you know, around here we had a basketball team for many, many years. And so in the spring of the year, the basketball team would go out and play football. Well, so there's a guy, someone might be, you know, Demetrius. Demetrius is 6'8". All right. He was like catching everything because he's 6'8". All right. So I got mad at him catching the ball. And so I said, I'm going to go play defensive back at 40. All right. Demetrius is like 22. I'm 40. Now, I played defensive back a lot. So he comes running out there, and I'm talking about talking smack. So Demetrius would come out running out there. I said, I'm going to tell you, you will not catch another football. You're not going to catch another. The rest of this game, you are not going to catch the football. I guarantee it. That was talking smack. I couldn't really back it up. Okay, I'm 40. He's 22. I wasn't in the best shape of the world. I really wasn't in any defensive back shape. But I knew that they were going to, their big play, they're going to throw a long ball to Demetrius. So I just kept backing up, and you know, I gave him plenty of room. So I don't know how many times, the rest of the game, he never caught another ball. But every time he came down, I said, you're not going to catch another ball. I mean, they might quit throwing to you. I'm covering you. There's no way you're going to catch another ball. One time, he got behind me. I was able to keep him. He got behind me, and I don't know how. I'm 6'2". Demetrius is 6'8". I'm 40. He's 22. I was able to somehow out-jump him, tip the ball, and he couldn't catch it. You know, so, you know, the point is, I really couldn't stop him from catching the football. I was talking smack. I really couldn't back it up. You know, He's 6 inches taller than me. He plays basketball, can dunk the ball like crazy. I can't even touch the rim. Okay? Well, maybe I can touch the rim. But well, not now. Maybe then at 40. And so, but the point is, and that's what the devil does. He tries to talk smack and tell you that you can't do anything when really he can't do anything. You're not just 6'8", you're 7'3". Or 8 foot, or 9 foot, or however tall you need to be. You know, there's nothing he can do. See, the devil looks small compared to you. And I couldn't stop him, you know, really. But what happened was I kept getting into his head so much. I think there was one time that he actually could have caught the ball and he dropped it. He didn't catch it. Just because I was in his head. It's not like we're playing flag football. I can't hit. You know, see, if we were playing tackle football, I might have could have done something. I would have hit him as soon as he tried to catch the ball, and it would have been a collision. All right. So, anyway, the devil's trying to talk smack, but he really has no right. And in fact, that's what it says. It tells us that, you know, that our authority must be exercised. Just because we've been given authority, we have to exercise the authority that we have. All right. Jesus tells us in Mark 16:17, he says that believers will cast out demons in his name. Brother Keith Moore has another song. Demons are afraid of me. You know, people are afraid of demons or demonic activity. No, demons should be afraid of you because you have the greater one on the inside of you. You know, I know when I was in Dominican Republic, I've been here twice last year. I'm going back again next year. I know, and you know, when you're at those places, sometimes the demons act up. I'm like, you know, if you know, I would tell the security guys, you find someone, you know, acting out with demonic activity, you call me, I'll come down there. And twice, you know, the deal is, I don't really speak Espanol. I speak a little bit, but not a whole lot. But the deal is that the devil knows English. And I know my authority. And you know, in both times, and we got rid of that devil. He had no right, he had no authority in the name of Jesus. But you know, over James 4:7 says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, if you don't resist him, he's not gonna flee. You have to resist the devil for him to flee. And then, like it says in 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brothers in the world. So the Bible says the devil walks around like a roaring lion, and he says he's seeking whom he may devour. Now, the reason he's saying that says that is because he knows he has no authority to devour you. He's trying to look for the people who don't know their authority in the name of Jesus to try to devour them. If you know your authority, he can't devour you. He's just talking smack. He can't stop you. The devil has no right. He has no authority to stop you. He's going to just tell you that you're not going to make it. The Bible says you can make it. You're going to get through it. That he's with you at all times. The Bible says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And I don't care if everybody else forsakes you. He's right with you. You're never home alone with Jesus. And for those who want to know, that was my very first lab sermon I preached at Rhema Bible Training College. All right. First sermon was, I was evangelist class. I spoke, you're never home alone with Jesus. That was, Home Alone was like the big movie. My second one was the riders, the passengers, and the hitchhikers on the highway to hell. So anyway, so it was the highway to hell. Actually, I got my second sermon while I was preaching. I was preaching in Memphis, Tennessee, because I was out preaching already by the time my second year Rhema. I was preaching in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was at a Subway restaurant, and the guy had the Highway to Hell. He had a radio going on, and I heard I had to listen to the whole song, because I had the whole singers and band there, and so I'm the last one paying the bill. And so he had the radio. I'm sure if the manager knew he had the radio going on, they'd probably get on to him, but he had some, you know, rock station going on, and I've never had listened to every word, but you know what? It was pretty cool, because I got a sermon out of it, so. You never know. Anyway, the devil's trying to take things away from him, but he has no right. He's walking around like a roaring lion, meaning, you know, he has a bark, but he really has no bite. It's like a roaring lion. He's roaring. Now, a lion has the power and authority to take you out, but the devil has no authority. If we resist him, the Bible says, steadfastly in our faith. We have to believe what we know. Now, Brother Hagin often taught that believers often ask God to do what God told the believers to do. We're asking God to do something that we have been given the authority. God will not resist the devil for you. God will not rebuke the devil for you. You must do it in the name of Jesus. The devil does not respond to prayer alone. He responds to the authority exercised by faith. Now, Brother Hagin said many believers struggle because they live a defeated life because they pray instead of commanding. They beg instead of resisting. And they wait instead of standing. I mean, there's a time to pray and a time to command. The Bible doesn't say to pray for your mountain. It says to speak to your mountain. The Bible doesn't say, the Bible says that we need to resist, not beg the Lord to help us. And sometimes we understand. Authority is voice activated. It must be spoken. It must be enforced. So 2026 will be different if we're not stepping in as weaklings, but stepping in knowing our authority. We need to use our authority over our minds, in our homes, over sickness, over fear, over lack. My grandfather says in the book, the devil has no authority over the believer unless the believer gives it to him. You're the only one that can give up your authority. All right, so 2026 will be different because we are not going to be going in ignorant. We're going in informed and authoritative. All right? So, he says this is something that maybe we should pray. It says, I am a believer and I have authority. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Satan is under my feet. I resist the devil and he flees. 2026 will be different because I walk in the authority of the believer. So like I said, Brother Hagin spent his life teaching us that that victory is not automatic. It's enforced by what we say. As we close this year, we are not closing it in defeat. We are closing it in revelation. As we step into 2026, we step in knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, where we're seated in heavenly places, and what authority that we have in Christ. And because of that, 2026 will be different. All right, now that's just some, really quick version of the believer's authority. Here on Hour of Power, I'm 13 seconds late. But I encourage you to get a hold of that whole book. Read it. Get a hold of the CDs, DVDs, MP3s, however you want. I have the MP3 on my iPad, actually. I got the MP3 of the Believer's Authority and the MP3 of the Name of Jesus, because let's go together. And we need to understand the authority we have in the name of Jesus that we can use. Amen. Let's all stand up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, as we go into 2026, we thank you that we'll be recharged up, refired up, understanding our authority in the name of Jesus, understanding the devil has no right and no authority, and help us to as we get into this new year and the devil tries to stop us from doing what we need to do, help us remember the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. Father God, we just pray for this new year. We thank you that this new year will be elevated. We'll have the best year we've ever had before. And we thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I don't know if there was any first-time visitor, but if there was, the connection team is in the aisle. We have a gift for you. We'd like to give to you. If you need prayer for anything, whether it's salvation, healing, whatever you need prayer for, if you happen to be a gentleman, you go see the gentleman over here. Happen to be a lady, go see the ladies over there. Amen. Well, I just want to say early, because my sister's already texted me, Happy New Year. All right. And we'll see you guys next year. And make sure to make 2026 the best year ever. God bless you guys.